We thank you so much. We thank you that you sent the bread of life, Lord, so we could have life. We thank you, Lord, that our lives are ransomed unto you because of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, as we just continue to make our way through Titus, that as we look at responsibility in response to grace, that we would not be overwhelmed or allow our sinful nature to buck at certain situations, but we would be overwhelmed by how truly precious we are to you and how you have so much for us. And you know the beginning and you know the end and you know the middle, and your word's good. And it's faithful. It's a lamp unto our feet. So Jesus, could you just minister to us in a wonderful way this morning? You've already been so good. And I just pray, Father, that you would just continue to meet us individually and corporately. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Turn to Titus chapter 2, please. And we're going to be in verses 1 through 5. And before I read these verses, just one more thing I want to ask you guys to be in prayer about. I got a text from another pastor friend of mine on Friday morning that he is going with an organization to Israel to meet with certain leadership in Israel. And it was a total God thing. God opened this door up for this guy. It's going to be all expenses paid. And he's not even really a member of this organization. But anyway, he'll be leaving Monday. And he'll be sitting down with different folks in Israel and leadership in Israel. And so when he gets back, I hope to find something out that maybe I can share with you. You know, maybe not necessarily, you know, in this form, but maybe just individually. You know, I don't know. But anyway, he asked me to be praying, so I'm going to ask you guys to be praying as well. You know, the cool thing about the Lord is I think sometimes we look at situations that other people get or opportunities that other people get. And we forget at the end of the day, the Lord opens doors, He closes doors. That's just it. That's how it works. And so that's how we have to look at things. God either opens a door or He closes a door. You know, you heard the old saying, if a God closes a door, He opens a window. That's bad theology, by the way. We look for the window, okay? Doors are either open or doors closed. Who knows what God might do or open whatever doors for us who are here today. He does great and unexpected things, friends. Now, Titus chapter 2. But as for you, speak things which are proper for sound doctrine. That older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. That older women, likewise, that they be reverent. In behavior, not slanderers, not given to too much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Remember, as we're going through Titus, there's a twofold purpose. Chapter 1 was a totally different theme. It was about setting up leadership, the responsibility that Titus had in setting up leadership. Now understand, he wasn't just looking for people and taking elections. There was a criteria involved, and it had to do with a man's character. Seen in his family in verse 6, his personal life in verse 7 through 8, and then his doctrinal beliefs in verse 9. When you boil down the list that God gave Titus through Paul via the Holy Spirit, it was about a man's character. Not giftedness, not his natural ability to lead, but his character. And the type of character that Titus was talking about in chapter 1 can only come from someone who is really spending time with our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Lord had certain qualifications for leaders in the church. Leaders are never chosen by any meeny, miny, mo or elections. They are chosen because they met the qualifications that are given here. And as we looked at this, we couldn't help but think, as we looked at that list, one would have to say that, you know what, that's a good benchmark, that's a good picture for what Christian maturity looks like in general anyway. There was a responsibility. But see, there's a twofold purpose in Titus. Because when we get to chapter 2 and we get to chapter 3, we're going to talk about the responsibility for believers. Titus gives a summary of how believers should adorn the doctrine of grace. Okay, if we've experienced the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, it should be impacting us in the way we're living our lives via good works. Many Christian folk today seem to be pleased with the doctrine of grace, but have little interest in good works being displayed from their lives. Paul sums up the thing perfectly. This is a faithful saying. These things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Now remember the culture that Titus was thrust into. Cretans had a horrible reputation. They were liars, they were evil beasts, and they were lazy gluttons, but they were rather quite prosperous. They had a nice agricultural economy. They had a lucrative trading business, but it impacted their culture in a bad, bad way. So here's Titus in a situation that he is left into, and then Paul says, these are things that you need to be teaching believers. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about my son and my daughter. I don't necessarily have to teach my son and my daughter how to throw fits, how to be rebellious, how to pick their nose. They do that all on their own. But I do have to teach my children how to be obedient, how to wash their hands, how to wash their face. At some point in time, when they're adolescents and they start having B.O., you need to put some deodorant on, son. You don't want to stink. You need to learn how to comb your hair, son. You need to. You have to teach. You have to teach certain things that we, as adults, take for granted. Now, as we looked at this list right here that Paul's about to teach, understand, older men and older women, we might be thinking, well, yeah, this is just kind of common sense. But remember the culture that these guys were birthed into. They're new creations. They're Christians. And they're going to have to swim upstream against being liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Paul says this in Romans verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 17 through 23. But God be thanked that through you, you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and end and everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. They've experienced grace. Well, this is just the way I am. That's the problem. A saved person, a redeemed person, or give them new spiritual DNA via the Holy Spirit. Therefore, that person can be free not to be like they used to be. An old saint once said this, "Well may be our God, glorious in the eyes of His people, seeing that He has wrought such wonders for them and in them and by them." They're going to have to move beyond their culture from liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Geographically now, yes, they are Cretans, but from a heart standpoint, they are different because of what they've experienced via the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ. They're new creatures. Okay? Because you remember how people viewed these guys. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always." This is who they are. Paul said, that is true. But let's understand something here. They've been bought by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The theme of 3 and 4, or 2 and 3, is Christian's response to God's grace. Good works is proper response. And that's what we're looking at. We see in verses 1 through 4, good works of older saints. In verses 4 through 8, good works of younger saints. In verses 9 through 15, good works of Christian slaves. So as we look at this, understand something here. God cares how we live in our homes. God cares how we live at our jobs. Okay? One of the best advertisements for any fellowship is not found in the newspaper, not on a Facebook page, not on a website. It's the people that go and attend and how they are conducting themselves in their home, at their job, and in their community. I never want to be... My natural bent, okay, in my flesh, overly critical, quick-tempered, sarcastic, don't really care what comes out of my mouth, don't really care who hears it. I'm just going to tell you how it is. That's a bad look for our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't have to be that way. I get to be, you know what? A Spirit-filled person who has God's Word that looks at things radically different because I'm a new creation. And see, it's valuable for us to understand this. Because if we're going to represent our Lord Jesus Christ in this culture, people need to see some genuineness, not religiosity. Okay, you guys could care less about religiosity, could you? Would you guys say that you would want to see genuineness? Not perfection. No one's perfect. But this person really loves Jesus. And they're actively really trying to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in a rules-constructed, legalism, goofy kind of way, but they have a relationship with Jesus that is vibrant and it's real. So this is what Titus says, or this is what Paul says for Titus. Verse 1 he says, "But as for you, speak things which are proper for sound doctrine. But as for you, Titus..." Remember, we left chapter 1 with Paul instructing Titus about false teachers. See, Titus is different from these guys. Those guys were about keeping folks unhealthy with their legalism and their fables. But Titus is different. His job, if you want to just kind of boil it down, give them sound doctrine. Speak things which are proper for sound doctrine means healthy. Paul uses his term five times. We read this in verse 9 of chapter 1. "Holding fast the word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine." Verse 13 of chapter 1. "The testimony is true, that therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." Titus 2, chapter 2. "Older men, be sober, be reverent, sound in the faith, in love, and in patience." Verse 8 of chapter 2, "Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say." Get these guys healthy in their faith. And it starts with sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, not junk food doctrine. What happens to our bodies if all we consume... You guys can consume junk food. I can tell by looking at you, y'all ain't eating healthy. I know that for sure. If you, what's your favorite like restaurant? Just curious. In and Out, Olive Garden. Boy, you just love that bread, don't you? Free bread, just keep bringing it. Now I can just kill that. I bet you like Mexican food because you get that instant gratification. And what do they bring right off the top? I bet you'll bankrupt that place in chips and salsa. Now, when you get this age, 46 years old, I used to be maybe 5'6". Now I think I'm more like 5'4". I still got the lion in me that wants to eat. But the next morning, my body just will not process that mass. And if I continue to have that kind of diet, okay, that kind of diet, you ever seen a Loompa Loompa? You have, you're laughing. But that's what I'd look like. Because there ain't much, I'm not going to carry this weight. I mean, there ain't much for it to go but just one place. You got to give them sound doctrine. Don't give them junk food. See, the idea behind speaking things which are for proper doctrine, the phrase has more to do with right living, not just necessarily just thinking. Because this is what we're doing here. We're getting to the nuts and bolts. It matters how you're living. God really does care how we're living, whether we like it or not. Don't overlook the fact the Bible tells us how we should be living as Christians. And the only way I know in speaking things which are proper for sound doctrine is to teach through the Bible, because you cover it all. And here's a few good reasons why we should teach through the Bible, and just a few. Teaching through the Bible grows us up. Think about it. 1 Peter 2:2-3 says, "As newborn babies desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you tasted that the Lord is gracious." And what happens to grown-ups? They act radically different than babies. I had really no expectations on my son or my daughter when they were babies other than please sleep. That's it. But if my son at 15, 16, 18 years old is still living in our house, I got different type of expectations for him. Because now he is going into manhood and he is going to be a man. Those expectations are changing. Teaching through the Bible is like open heart surgery. For the Word of God's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul, the spirits, the joints, the marrow, it's a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. A heart that has had heart surgery or in need of heart surgery should function and act differently, should it not? Or if not, you get problems. So see, when we open our Bibles and we expose ourselves to truth, I'm trusting via the Holy Spirit, God is dealing with things that we may not even realize need to be dealt with. Radical change. Sound doctrine. Finally, just one more. Teaching through the Bible honors the Lord. I mean, you just stop and think about this one for a moment. How God's maintained His Word. And we live in a country where you can overabundance, easy to get a Bible. I love what the psalmist says in 138:2. "I will worship towards your holy temple. I will praise your name for loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name." It honors the Lord. What do you think God thinks about with junk food doctrine, hobby horse teachings, little cute little things that he's such a wonderful charismatic speaker. I mean, I don't think God's too impressed with that mess. He wants His kids to grow up. He wants His kids to be, who wanted, you know, at the end of the day, when my children that were in the womb, I mean, my number, God, I just pray that they're healthy. That's it. Lord, just pray that they're healthy. You don't think God cares that His kids, He wants them to be healthy? See, one thing we're learning when we're talking about responsibility as for us as Christians, and I pray we get this, is how precious we truly are in the Lord's eyes. We're His precious brides. Here's one picture in Scripture where a church that kept to the Word, and because they kept to the Word, they had good works. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 through 8, and the angel in the Philadelphia writes, "These things says He who is holy, He who is true, He who is a key of David, He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one's open. I know your works, and I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you had little strength, and have kept my word, and not denied my name." Good works in tough situations. One last thing before we move on. Never forget what Jesus said, Matthew 28:19-20. "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Not optional. Jesus said that. Bottom line, friends, speak things which are proper for sound doctrine should be impacting how we're living and where we're living. We're not to just be sitting around thinking about the Word, because what we're thinking about the Word should be impacting how we're walking, if and truly we are meditating on it and in it. If not, there's a disconnect somewhere. Think about it for a moment. I love what the psalmist said in 119:33-35. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. So don't think. God's grace is a beautiful thing. No doubt about it. I don't think we can comprehend it. But let's understand this as well. We don't sin more because of God's grace. We should be having a desire to sin less because we've been impacted by His goodness. Hence, good works. Moody said this, "The Bible was not given for information only, but also for our transformation." Look at my kids. Look at my kids. What they know at this stage in their life is very little. They are counting on me and Margaret to teach them some things. And so these things that we may be looking at right here, when we're talking about older men and older women, you may just be kind of just wanting to blow by this thing and say, oh, well, that's just kind of common sense. I get this. Understand something. They had to be taught this. Okay? They had to be taught this. So let's don't blow by it. So this is what he says. This is what you need to teach older folks. And one thing before I read this and share as we make our way through, you know, just kind of the gravity of the responsibility, let's understand something. Within the confines of the body of Christ, older people are very valuable. Let's get that straight out the gate. Now, he may be talking to people around 50 and over. Okay? I'm getting close to 50. So I start thinking about this stuff a little bit. I think radically different than I did when I was your guys' age. That didn't make you... I just thought differently. You know what I thought about when I was your age? You don't want to know some of it, but I'll tell you one thing. All I could think about... Man, I had this 1976 Ford pickup. 302. Three on a tree. Long, long bed. And my dream and my desire and my thoughts consisted of making drop spindles to drop the front end 3.5 inches, lowering the back, turning this into a low rider, which I did with help from somebody. Totally tricked it out. That's the way I thought. In my 20s, okay, I get saved, I start thinking a little differently. But nonetheless, not like I think now at 46 years old. I've been on the planet a little while. I probably don't think like Charles thinks because Charles has been here longer. That's not bad saying Charles is older than me. That's a fact. Just like, you know what, it's not bad saying someone's taller than me. That's just a fact. I probably think not as differently as Fred does because Fred's been here a while. Michael's been here a while. Carl's been here a while. Okay? People, let's understand that when a culture moves beyond the fact of thinking old people are a nuisance, get them out of the way, let's stick them over here, we're just going to get them out of here, a culture starts falling apart. I want you to understand that because two reasons why. A, that says a lot about the culture when they deem this person, just because they got a little more snow on the roof, is a problem and they're insignificant. That says a lot about the heart of a culture. Two, you can gain so much wisdom from someone that's been around the block. Because you know what? Scripture's right. There ain't nothing new under the sun. Nothing. And someone that's been on this planet and has to endure some things and gone through some things, if they indeed have humbled themselves and got clued in on a few things, are a valuable resource. Because really, you get older, you can be a good example or a bad example. Either way, you're going to be an example. Listen to what he says. He starts with older folks. That older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Older women likewise. That they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Paul continues to give instruction and encouragement concerning Titus's ministry in Crete. Paul teaches sound doctrine, and at this point we think that Paul would go into those big ology-type words, theology-type words, but no, he starts talking about practical living. This is what you teach older men. That older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Now before we begin this, let's remember what Paul instructed Timothy in chapter 5, verse 1 through 2. Treatment of church members. He said, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. See, friends, there was some older folks in Crete, no doubt, and they had to be approached in the right manner, love and wisdom. They need to be treated with respect. Okay? And that's just funny to me that's something that actually has to be communicated. I don't get that. That don't construct in my southern gentility. You treat people with respect. See, it matters how we frame up conversations with other folks before we even begin the conversation. I'm not talking manipulating people and trying to work an angle with people. I'm talking about just being respectful to people. Proverbs 15, 1 through 2 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Titus, you got a job to do. But don't let the job be more important than the people. How many times when we want to tell someone how they need to be doing something, we just bluntly need to tell someone how they need to be doing something. How well does that go over? That might go over okay with your kids. It might go over with your spouse, so you think. I can tell you one thing beyond that, it will not go over. Titus, stop and think about how you're going to do this. Nonetheless, you got a job to do. See, older men in the body of believers should be mature and wise. They should be good example seen in these qualities in their life. Sober, reverent, temperate. The older men were to be sober, which means to be temperate in the use of wine. Wiersbe put it this way, old men with time on their hands could linger too long over a cup. They should be sober. They should be careful in all areas of their conduct. Bottom line, sober men should know how to conduct themselves not only privately, but publicly. It's a maturity issue here. Stop and think about how you're acting. Encourage them into stopping and thinking and looking. Not only that, he moves on to be reverent, mean dignified. But this does not mean being a stick of mud and devoid of any type of personality. It's simply this. They know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. Reverence. Stop. Think. And that's what a mature person does. That's really what a Spirit-filled person does, because one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And so someone who's walking in the Spirit has some self-control. In other words, they take a step back and start thinking about the situation. What's appropriate, what's not appropriate. Have some reverence. Temperate describes an attitude of mind which leads to prudence and a self-controlled life. The opposite, of course, is carelessness. And you know folks like that. And what does that look like? it may produce a chuckle. It may produce a laugh. But is it a good example? Older men should be temperate. They should be balanced. And they should be discreet. In other words, they have an understanding of their position within the body of believers. Wow, I'm an example here. If I'm going to, as an older person, have an impact on these men, you guys don't want me acting like I'm a doofus, do you? You may think it's funny, but I'm just going to be that old dude that acts like a doofus, right? Yeah, I was there. When are you going to really take me serious? Now, you just met me, but he hasn't been around. But when are you going to take me serious? When you see that really what he says is who he is. Not that he's perfect. But he really is trying to live his life in accordance. He goes on to say, sound in faith and love and in patience. Older men need to be stable. Stable in the right things, sound in faith and patience. The older we get, and this is a fact, the more we get set into certain ways. That's just the way it is. Okay? But should we not, as men, want to be set in sound in faith and in love and in patience? Sound in faith. The older we get, we shouldn't become more bitter and cynical. In other words, we should be more faithful, more thankful, more optimistic. Because you know why? We've been we're walking with our Lord Jesus Christ. We should have enough history with Jesus and seeing how He's come through time and time and time and time again. Well, I'm sound in faith. I don't know how it's going to work out. I just know it's going to work out. You know, Murphy's Law is great. It's great. It's usually true, but the problem with Murphy's Law, it does not factor in the Lord. Never. In love, a love that's not self-centered, but thinks of others, giving. The older you get, it's really hard to be that way. Because sometimes I think the older you get, you feel like you gived out. Because you've had people take advantage of you. You had people do this. You've had people do that. And it's easy to kind of become hard-hearted about stuff. And see, that's why it's important to maintain a close walking relationship with Jesus, because we understand one thing from the get-go. It's all about the Lord anyway. It doesn't matter. Someone's ripped me over. They're going to do this or they're going to do that. But then patience. It means steadfast, active endurance, not just waiting to die. Okay? You know, Charles says there is no retirement for the Christian. You don't see that in the Bible. Well, no, you don't. Moses was steadily plugging along. Jacob plugged along. Paul plugged along. Peter plugged along. We're here for a purpose. We're to actively endure challenges in life, especially that of old age. And when you get old, it is challenging. You don't have the energy you used to have. You don't have the vision you used to have. And if you stay around here long enough, then guess what? This body that is going to die, it's terminal, you're going to run into some situations in your life. Best example I have in my life of a man like this is my next door neighbor, Joe, 90 years old. 90 years old, dude's learning Hebrew. Dude learning Hebrew, man. 90 years old. He ain't got no better to do. We're putting a roof on my house. I told you this story. I'm still like blown away by it. And I'm so thankful the boy did not fall off my house. Me and Fred are up there putting this roof on. Bam, 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 bam. Here comes Joe with his tool bag. He's slow, but the line's moving. I was like, no way this dude's coming up on my roof. I mean, I don't even like being up here. My ankles are sore. My knees are sore. All of a sudden, I see that ladder doing this. Here he comes. You know what he told me when I first moved there 8 years ago? This is exactly what this guy told me. He shakes my hand. He says, "Hi, my name is Joe. I want to be a good neighbor." And that's what he's been. the other day, he came over on a Sunday afternoon and he said, "Hey, can you get a hold of Fred? There's this widow lady who needs her door jam fixed. It's rotted out." And I said, "Can you get a hold of Fred? Fred's the only guy I really trust to go over there, because normally, you know, most folks in our society look at old folks as a way to take advantage of them, okay? Which is sad." I was like, "Yeah, I'll call him. We'll see what we can do. And I'll go over and help as well. Yada, 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 blah, 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 blah." And so, anyway, we're over there. And here's this guy, 90 years old. Not only has he been a neighbor to me, he's also still actively involved in the fellowship in which he ministers. He's about to go do a funeral. 90 years old. I look up to that man. Because I see a man that his wife, on Valentine's Day, 2 years ago, died of Alzheimer's. He took care of her as long as he could take care of her, and then she went into the nursing home. We need examples like that. 46 years old, I need examples like that. You see why? You see, men, you see why it's important? We're either going to be a good example or a crummy example, and people are watching. My son is watching. Fact. Fact. Teach older women these things. Older women likewise, okay, likewise. That they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to too much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish young women to love their husbands, to love their children. That they admonish young women to love their husbands, to love their children. I read that twice. To be discreet, chaste homemakers, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Older women likewise, reverent in behavior. Older women likewise, let's understand something. Titus, you got to know who you're talking to. These precious older women are not like men. They have certain things in their life that they're dealing with that men necessarily are not dealing with. First, we read here is what older women should not be doing. We see three things here. Reverent in behavior. The idea behind behavior includes suggestion, address, or just how a woman carries herself. Some reverence about it. I love what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3, 3 through 4. Do not let your adornment be merely outward. Okay, there's nothing wrong with fixing yourself up, ladies. Let's understand that right now. There's nothing wrong with that. It says merely outward. Arranging the hair, wearing of gold, put on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit that's very precious in the sight of God. Proverbs 11:22 says, "A ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion." There is nothing more beautiful on this planet, men, than a woman that's walking close with the Lord. And I'm not just telling you that because I'm supposed to. It's true. There is nothing more dynamic and more beautiful than seeing someone who is walking with the Lord. Goes on to say, slander. Don't do this. The word for slanders is the same word used for devils. Older women or anyone else should not just sit around and gossip. We're doing the devil's work. And isn't that so? We live in a culture that makes money off gossiping, by the way. That's what they do. Most news, unfortunately, a lot of times just gossip. You look on the magazine racks. So-and-so is doing this, and so-and-so is doing that, and yada, yada, blah, 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 blah. And we're so infected by it that we don't even recognize that that's what it is. But let's understand something. When we slander someone, we're devaluing them in the eyes of the person we're talking to them about. We're attacking their character. Proverbs 10:18 says, "Whoever has hatred has lying lips. Whoever spreads slander is a fool." So right at the get-go, he's saying, okay, carry yourself a certain way. Don't slander. Don't waste your time. Third thing we read here, not given to too much wine. And this was a common failing of older women in Roman and Greek culture. He's talking about abusing alcohol. And I don't have to go into all that. You guys know that. See, when you abuse alcohol, what happens is, normally a person doesn't necessarily behave in a manner that honors the Lord. See, older ladies are so valuable. so valuable. And think about this. What happens when children leave the nest? There's a void for moms, not life. I don't think men will, we understand that totally. But there's a void there. And they have spent so much time, so much time. Because they're the main caregivers. Okay? They're the main caregivers. They shuffle them here, they shuffle them there, they wipe their nose, they do this, they do that, they do blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's a void then. And I think part of what we may not be spoken here, but it's something that I think that we may need to consider is when there's a void, then it's easier to look for other avenues to try to fill that void. Hence, it's easy just to sit around and talk. Hence, it's easy maybe not to carry oneself in a reverent behavior. Hence, it's easy to maybe give oneself over to wine. So he's saying, hey, I got something better. Repurpose. Repurposing is not a bad thing. See, because these older women have great, great, great responsibility within the body of believers. And I know I've gone way too long. I'm sorry. That they admonish young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemade, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Don't overlook the spoken here, by the way. Paul's not telling Titus, you need to teach a women's Bible study. And if I have to really go into the wisdom why you should not be doing that, see me afterwards. Think about it. See, older women should be the one that's doing most of the investing in one-on-one. Admonish means to encourage. Not go and chew on them, but encourage young women. Love your husband. What does that mean? Well, it's not just giving him a kiss or doing this, but man, just treat him in a certain manner. You know what a man's number one need is? Respect. That's it. And that's truth. That's truth. Treat him in a respectful manner. Come alongside. Love him. Don't make major decisions without him. Include him. I mean, come on. It is a team. Live within means. Confessing promptly if there's an offense. Keeping lines of communication. Love him. It's important that my children see that I love Margaret and Margaret loves me. How are they ever going to have a picture of what a healthy marriage looks like? Think about it for a minute. Not only that, it says love their children. How do you love your children? Well, you talk about different things you've done. I've gleaned so much, believe it or not, I listen quite a bit. You know, I know I'm just a little old country mouse, but I listen quite a bit and learn all kinds of things. Listen to how, well, you know, we did this with our kids when they were this and that and this and that. You know, loving them. Encouraging them. And I tell you what, man, this generation of kids, my kids' age that are coming up, boy, do they ever need to be loved on in the home. Not only that, teach them to be discreet. It means a fine sense of what's appropriate. Chaste, faithful to their husbands, avoiding impurity. That they should be homemakers. There is nothing wrong with being a homemaker. Nothing. It is so valuable within our culture. It's stability within our culture. To come home from school and then this and that and teach them these things. And you know what? Is it not wonderful as a husband to have a home that's just peaceful? You come in, it's peaceful. Teach them these things. Now I'll ask you a question. Who really knew about being married and having a family when they got married? Man, I got married at 36 years old. You know what I knew, guys? A whole lot of nothing. You see why it's so valuable to have older, mature folks that you can bounce things off of? They can tell you, hey, you know, did you ever think that maybe you shouldn't talk to your wife that way, doofus? Because I'm seeing the response. Did you ever know that your wife is a responder? You can learn. Experience is a great teacher. Tuition's high. We need folks. No one pulls themselves up by their bootstraps. Let's understand that. We need folks investing in us that have been there, done that, and especially within the body of Christ, folks that are walking close with the Lord. And that doesn't mean that they just share everything that they think that they've done right. They share their mistakes. Oh, I wish I'd have done this better. I didn't do this. You know, because you look back over life, and if you walked with Jesus consistently, you look back and say, wow, man, I didn't get that one right. You're open. You're genuine. And then it says, be obedient to your own husbands. This is just another way of saying, be submissive within the marriage relationship. And you can read this in Ephesians 5:22 and Colossians 3:18. Wow, this is a big job. Big responsibility. And the point of all of what these older ladies should be teaching is not the production of Christian robots in the home. Rather, there's the most important thing that's going on here, that the Word of God may not be blasphemed. This shows how important it is for women to teach these things, that younger women learn them. When Christians don't live in a biblical and godly manner, it means the Word of God is blasphemed. Ah, that's not that important! See, one of the things about getting saved, one of the things is we realize we're not our own anymore. We were bought at a great price. And therefore we should look at things differently. D.L. Moody said this, out of 100 men, one will read the Bible, the other 99 will read the Christian. See, we're talking about good works here, folks. You can't talk about God's grace all day long and then just live a defunct life. That's a bad witness. That's a bad witness. Full circle. Paul's instruction to Titus, but as for you, speak things which are proper for sound doctrine. Paul tells Titus to teach sound doctrine. At this point, we would think Paul would go on to define doctrine in big theology words, with all kinds of big fancy words. That's not what he does. The Lord's interested in us becoming people who walk with Him, living it out in our daily lives. This sound doctrine, Titus says, that older guys and older gals, see, this is a command to teach them, means that they did not automatically come with age. You don't just get all of a sudden 50, 56, 60 years old and you're just this wealth of wisdom. You can't teach what you ain't got. End of discussion. I don't care what it is. Remember, these guys were born into a culture, liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. That's what they were born into. That's who they were. Here's the point. All that Titus shared with the older men and older women had to be taught to them. These character qualities do not just come with age. See, these qualities come through sound doctrine. Going through the Bible, teaching through the Bible grows us up. As newborn babies desire the pure milk of the Word that you may be grow by. Teaching through the Bible is like open heart surgery. For the Word of God's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul, the spirit, joints, and marrow. It's a discerner of thoughts and intents. Teaching through the Bible honors the Lord. Honors God, for you've magnified your word above your name. But last, if not true, if you don't want to buy into any of this other stuff, would you please grab a hold of this? Teaching through the Bible truly shows us who we are in Christ. See, that's the big one. Because when we really get this one, of how valuable we are, it should radically change the way we live. We read in Ephesians, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without a blemish. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify, cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. We start to realize who we are in Jesus. See, I think one of the biggest things for us to grab a hold of is really, truly how much God loves us. How much he has for us. See, he knows the beginning, the middle, and the end. And so when he's teaching us things, okay, perfect example, and I know I've gone long. You can stone me later. We went on a hike, because I love the outdoors, by the way. I love the outdoors. And growing up in East Texas, it either bites you, stings you, gores you. It's pretty rough country. Bulls, you know, gore. Hogs can gore. It's pretty rough country. So see, I love the outdoors and I love camping, but really I love camping in the fall when it's cool. I don't like snakes. I don't like snakes. All right? Jonathan's age, when I was Jonathan's age, we lived out in the sticks, praise God. I wish we lived out in the sticks. And my dad only had to tell me one time, watch for snakes. All right? Watch for snakes. Copperheads, water moccasins. Don't worry about garter snakes, rat snakes, green snakes. Might run across occasional rattlesnake, maybe. But copperheads, water moccasins, you watch out for those snakes, son. They'll get you. My dad had to teach me that. So see, I'm having to teach my son as we are walking, first of all, because if we're walking down a hiking path, I'm saying, hey, son, I want you to walk in the middle of the road. You walk too close right here to this path on this side or this side, there could be a snake, and copperheads are very good at camouflaging themselves. Walk in the middle of the road. Son, you see a snake, give him some space. So we're walking down there at the Mineola Game Preserve Friday afternoon, hiking down there, Sabine River bottom. Lots of water moccasins down there. We're walking down there past a few people, watch for snakes. You don't have to tell me to watch for snakes. I grew up around here. Jonathan, watch for snakes. Sure enough, we're coming back after we walk down the river, walking back. Guess what? There's a water moccasin that big. Go across the road. Jonathan, you see what I'm talking about? See, he has no clue what a water moccasin is unless his daddy takes the time to tell him. Abigail, don't pick up no snake. We laugh. You're thinking, I wouldn't do that. Jonathan, see that? That's a wasp nest. Don't throw a rock at it. See that? That's a yellow jacket's nest. Don't throw a rock at it unless you can run really fast. That's a dirt dauber. Don't worry about him. See that standing scorpion? Check your boots. Check your boots before you put them on. Might be a standing scorpion there, son. You see what I'm getting at? Are we any different as Christians? This Bible tells us how we're to live our life, what we're to avoid, what we're not to pick up, what we're not to touch. Why? Because God's a killjoy? No. He knows what's dangerous. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that we truly are precious in your sight. Oh, Lord, may we be sober-minded, walking in reverence, enjoying you, being steadfast in you, that we're not just waiting to go home or waiting for you to come back. We are actively involved with your program and your plan. We're not pet rocks. We're your children. So, oh, Jesus, continue to minister unto us. Amen. 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 Oh, Jesus.